right, let's open our Bibles to Numbers, if you would please. The book of Numbers. Trying to continue on in this Egypt to Canaan study. Numbers 21, please. And this series particularly goes through Exodus and Numbers as far as the chronology of the storyline. Children of Israel, 40 years in the wilderness. And interestingly enough, the number five, the fifth movement of this series, is Numbers 15 to 19, which deals with that time of wandering. After the spies have come back, the evil report, we see those, just a handful of chapters is dealing with the 38 plus years of that time of the wandering around. So when you come to chapter 20, it begins what I would see as the last movement of this story. Movement number six, and beginning in Numbers 20 to the end of the book, which of course parallels with things you'll find in Deuteronomy and such, but we see the last section. We see the journey is almost concluded, and so we see different instructions and what have you in these last chapters. Chapter 20, verse 1, it speaks about how the whole congregation went into the desert of Zin. So as we've mentioned, these different movements can be based on where they're located. For example, the largest section to study is when they were in the wilderness of Sinai, the giving of the law and the tabernacle instructions and all that. But when you move further into Numbers chapter 20, you see the time when Moses smote the rock twice. Of course, he was not to do that. He was actually just told to speak to the rock. And previously, in another passage, he was told to smite the rock. And so now, this is a time of disobedience. It marred the picture of how the Lord Jesus is seen through the smiting of the rock. Well, this brings us to chapter 21. We see that at the end of chapter 20, we understand that Miriam and Aaron have died. Moses' siblings that have been along through this journey with Moses, we see the record of their death. And Moses is told in chapter 20 that he would neither go into the promised land because of him smiting the rock and so on. And yet, we find him as a man of faith. We see him in Hebrews 11, much about him and his faithfulness. But he does not go into the promised land. So he is preceded in death by his siblings, Aaron and Miriam. So in chapter 21, as we see them moving along toward the end of this journey, we want to focus largely on verses 4 to 9. A great picture, again, of the cross and the gospel. Many times through this series, we've seen the gospel brought before us. We see, of course, the crossing of the Red Sea. We see that time when he was to smite the rock. For example, here is another picture of the gospel. There in verse 4, if we could read. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread. So we find in verse 4 something we could probably relate to. We see that they say that people was much discouraged because of the way. So when you think about it, in our Christian experience, there are times in our lives, in a portion of our pilgrimage, that we may be discouraged. We may be feeling beaten down or what have you. And we can relate to that because of the way, going through the journey. It can seem sometimes overwhelming. But of course, we learn from life's experiences to trust the Lord. And yet, the result here is in verse 5, their complaints. And this has happened, their murmurings time and again. Not too many chapters back, there was a section of the complaining people, chapters 11 to 14, which of course led up to the bad report of those 10 of the 12 spies that went in from Kadesh Barnea. Even back at the beginning of the time after crossing the Red Sea, we see early on The Lord in his mercy still gave them manna, gave them the quails and what have you to eat, gave them the water, turned the bitter water to sweet and so on, but yet they complained. So this is not the first time we see their complaint. But in the midst of this, we see things that remind us of the Lord's mercy again, the Lord's goodness, his provision, and a picture of the cross. And so we see there in verse 6, "And the Lord sent fiery serpents," or burning serpents, "among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died." And so here we see a picture of our sin problem, when you think about it. We could go back, and we've probably looked at this before, but it's good to look back in Leviticus and see this illustration of sin. Here we see the serpents have bitten the people, and they died. And so we've been bitten, in an illustrative way, by sin, and it causes us death, spiritual death, and it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We have physical death before us. And so in Leviticus, which parallels with the latter or part of the time when they were in the wilderness of Sinai earlier on in this series, and we see in Leviticus 13 the cleansing of the leper, another picture of someone facing uncleanness and defilement, and we think of disease. So we can think about what leads to death. And so in Leviticus 13, verse 44 kind of summarizes how a leprous man would be seen and the priest would pronounce him utterly unclean. And to me, that's a reminder of how we are all, as Jeremiah speaks about our hearts, deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. This is our heart, utterly unclean. We're in need of cleansing. And so the leper goes on to say in verse 45, we're to cover his lip, his upper lip, and cry, unclean, unclean. So there's that sense of acknowledging that there's a problem. It's just like us as sinners, we need to admit that we're sinners, and so on. And so then, without going through all the details here, you get on into the next chapter. After he's pronounced unclean, it gives the remedy, the cleansing of the leper, and what the priest, how they would go about these things. And he could be, this one cleansed could be presented, as it were, or caused to stand as clean and cleansed. And that's a reminder of what we have in Christ. And so we think about this, and we go back to Numbers 21. The serpents have bitten the people, and many died. And so we see in verse 7, "Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee." And so again, like we saw in Leviticus, the acknowledgement, the pronouncement of being unclean and willing to go about and admitting it, unclean. So we see here a sense of confession. We've sinned. And then we see verse 7, "Pray unto the Lord that he will take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And so now we see intercession. And so this could remind us of several times when Moses, Aaron, and how they would often be praying for the people. Of course, Moses was there, the Lord, receiving the Ten Commandments and those instructions of the tabernacle. And we see how he was told what was going on, and he went down. And he was angry when he saw the molten calf. But we see him speaking to the Lord before he even went down on behalf of the people. And then other times through these stories, we see Moses interceding on behalf of the people. Even though they would at times challenge his own authority, such as those the number of Korah back in chapter 16. We see Korah's rebellion. They end up, hundreds of them, swallowed up in a pit. Sudden destruction. Another picture of the gospel in a sense of how rejecting the Lord brings sudden judgment. Well, anyway, he still was willing to intercede and pray for them. There were many after that pit opened up. Many others, they died, thousands, I believe it was, due to a plague. But yet he stood and prayed, and more could have died. And so the Lord heard him. And so we find verse 8, the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh up upon it, shall live. And so the Lord gives us instructions. Verse 9, in like manner Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. So you could just kind of narrow it down and say, one was lifted up, they were to look, and then we see they would live. Lift, look, live. And so this is a great picture of the gospel. We could put a finger here and go over to John 3. Another familiar passage, but in John 3, as we think of for God so loved the world in verse 16, preceding that, the Lord talking to Nicodemus refers back to this passage in Numbers. And as he's talking much about you must be born again, in verse 14, he illustrates this. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. There's several times in John you see must. We see that with the next chapter there, the Samaritan woman and John the Baptist. I must decrease, he must increase. And this different must in the book of John is really stands out as something to pay attention to. So even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And so just as that a serpent was lifted up on the pole, we think of the Lord Jesus lifted up there on the cross. And in like manner, those that look up to the cross and by obeying the gospel, receiving the fact that one on the cross died for our sins, we can live. We have forgiveness of sins. We have eternal life. So the Lord himself speaks of this example. So we go back and tie up the chapter a little bit, Numbers 21. After this explanation, as the Lord gave instruction, and then of course we see the Lord referring back to it centuries later. In Numbers 21 now, we notice in verse 10 to 20, we see it results in a song. And we see how as they pitched in Oboth and move on down, and we notice verse 17. Then Israel sang this song, spring up, O well, sing ye unto it, and so on. The princes dig the well, the nobles of the people digged it by the direction of the lawgiver with their staves. And so just reference here to a song. You know, when the children of Israel and Moses came across the Red Sea, we see how that next chapter is a pretty lengthy record of a song. And it also refers to Miriam singing. And so the result of that sense of redemption, their enemy had been put to death, no longer under the bondage of Pharaoh and Egypt, and they had victory from their enemy. They sang a song. So we see here singing once again. Deuteronomy, which again is a book that kind of helps overview this Egypt to Canaan, we see in Deuteronomy 31, and Lord willing, I may be looking at this to kind of tie up the series a little bit. I'm praying about that maybe for the Sunday meetings. But when you get into Deuteronomy 31 and so on, you'll see more about singing. And that's when it's getting time to transition to the next leader, which would be Joshua. And that charge would be given to him, one of the two spies that came back with a good report out of the 12. And so just with that, Numbers, the last verses, 21 to 35 of chapter 21, we see the enemies are defeated. And so we find these enemies defeated before the Lord there. And so, in a sense, we just see the chapter as a whole. We see the order. There was sin. There was prayer for help. there was confession, there was obedience, and then there was singing. And the end, the enemies were defeated. And so you think about that, that's kind of like, go a few books later and you look at Judges and how there were cycles and how there would be sin in the camp. They would seek the Lord because they would be in bondage to one of their enemies. They would have to admit that there was a problem. And then as they were obedient, the Lord would raise up a judge, a deliverer, and there would be relief, periods of rest, maybe 40 years or what have you, rest. And then that's a sense of singing, relief, rest. The enemies were defeated. Unfortunately, in Judges, then the whole cycle would repeat itself, and a few more decades would go by. And so, sin, prayer for help, confession, obedience, singing, enemies defeated. So in our life, we can see these things true, if we know the Lord Jesus, that we've had to come to the point, and by the conviction of the Spirit of God, the Word of God, that we're sinners, we cry out for help, and we receive deliverance from the Lord, which brings joy and singing to our hearts to know that our enemies have been defeated, death, hell, and the grave. So with that, I'll just pause, and if any of the brothers want to add to that.
Yeah, I